Good morning, everyone. It's always nice to be able to look out and see my fellow brothers and sisters. Those of you who are here visiting with us, we welcome you as well. And this is our hope and our desire that each time you are here in this area, that you choose again to come back and worship here with us here at Rockville. After our life here is over, there is something else that happens. There is another event. There is another phase. And depending on who you talk to, you will get a mixture of different answers about what happens after our life here on earth is over. But according to the author and the creator of life itself, there is but one answer to what happens after our life, after we die. And that is simply this, that we go on to live in eternity. The thing with that is, there are two eternities. There's one spent in heaven, and then there is one that is spent in hell. Two of the primary doctrines that we are taught from scriptures are the fact that there is life beyond our existence here on earth. And as we go through the scriptures, we'll look at various passages about heaven and hell. And we will notice one thing. For every verse there is that describes something about heaven, there is another verse that describes hell in the complete opposite. So this morning, we'll be looking at both heaven and hell. It is to bring us back to the reality of these two places, because these places really do actually exist. And everyone who has ever walked the face of this earth will spend an eternity in one of these two places. The first thing I would like us to notice about heaven is that there is no night. Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, without the sun, it is a known fact that we would die. Now, we know without light that we cannot see. In heaven, there is no night. There is only light, and God is the one that gives off that light. And we can see that, an example of that, from looking back at the history of the Old Testament. After Moses would come out from speaking with God, his face would shine so bright from being in the presence of the Lord that he had to wear a veil. Again, the complete opposite of this is found in hell. In Matthew 22, verse 13. Matthew 22, verse 13. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind them hand and foot and throw them into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, whenever we go into the cities, when it's night, we can still see. And we can still see because of the shops that are there, the street lights, the traffic signals. And the further and further away we get from the cities, the darker it gets. And I know when I go camping with the kids, we're always amazed at how many stars we're able to look up and see. And I can remember one year when we went camping, when we went with my dad, we took a tour of one of the caves. And one of the things they do with you when you're there is they take you into one of the caverns, one of the caves, and they turn off all the lights. And it's so dark inside that you can literally put your hand in front of your face and you cannot see it. You know it's there. You know your hand is there. But you cannot even make out the outline of your hands. And it's kind of an eerie feeling. It is total and absolute darkness. And then they light a match, and it lights up the entire cave. Another thing we read about heaven is that there will be no tears. Revelation 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. How awesome is that going to be? When we think about all the aches and the pains that we have in these bodies, all wiped away, nothing but a distant memory. And I know sometimes when my back starts to hurt, I am reminded that in heaven, I will never feel that pain again. All the things that we cry over, all the things that we mourn for, never more, never again. This is all real. We will experience all this blissfulness in heaven. Then on the flip side of that, there is hell. And again, we find the exact opposite in hell. In Matthew 13, 49 through 50. Matthew 13, 49 through 50. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, on one side we have absolutely no tears, and in hell there is nothing but tears. On one side we have no pain at all, on the other side we have nothing but pain. And again, as I mentioned, when my back does give out, those hours and those days that it lasts seem like they go on forever. And you start to think, man, is this ever going to go away? Is this pain ever going to go away? In hell, there is no pain relief. There are no painkillers. Just simply pain. Lots and lots of pain. Pain that really does actually go on forever. On one side we have no sorrow. Again, on the other side we have nothing but sorrow. And again, this is not make-believe. Heaven and hell are not some type of bedtime story or an old wives' tale. And the sad reality is that people will not realize that until it's too late. This is what God tells us what the existence in hell will really be like. Nothing but pain, nothing but sorrow, utter darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. There are direct opposites of what we are told heaven is like. Everything that we learn about heaven, we also learn is the direct opposite in hell. My favorite thing we learn about heaven is this, and it's found in Revelation 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among men, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." Now, when we read about heaven, we read about all the beautiful things that will be there. and I'm sure that it will be more beautiful than anything that we can possibly imagine. But what really makes heaven heaven is the fact that God is there. And when we are in heaven, we will be, as the text describes, among God Himself. It will not be a manifestation. It will not be a burning bush. It's not going to be God speaking through someone or something. It will be God Himself. We will be face to face with the Creator. That is what makes heaven, heaven. Out of all the descriptions of hell, the one that scares me the most is the next one, found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The pain that was described earlier, the sorrow, the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, and the outer darkness, it's scary. But to me, the worst thing of all, the scariest thing, the most terrible thing you can possibly imagine would be to be forever cut off from the presence of the Lord, without a single drop of hope of ever being reconciled with God ever again. There is no hope when you are in hell. Hope is a thing of the past. There will no longer be any chance ever of being reconciled with God. We cannot go to Him from hell and say, "I'm sorry, I changed my mind. I want to be there with you. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I want to be obedient." It's too late. We are given that chance once, and it is on this side of life. Like I said, what really makes heaven heaven is the fact that God is there. And what makes hell hell is that we are forever separated from God, from His glory, from His power, from His presence. And we will never have any hope of being with Him, ever. To me, that's the worst thing about hell. I ask you now to turn over to Matthew 25, verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 46. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, we see direct opposites here. One is eternal punishment, and the other is eternal life. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's a hard thing to grasp the concept of eternal life. Because we, when we're on this earth, we always think of things in finite matters. When we're at home, we see all these clocks that are all around us. We have questions such as, how old are you? How long have you been here? What day is it? Everything that we know firsthand, there is always a beginning and an end in everything around us. But in heaven, there will be no ending to it. Just one eternal day where we will be with God forever. No more sorrows, no more tears, no more death, never, ever again. Eternal life with no end to it. Now, I can understand it in a sense in my mind, but for me, it's a very difficult thing to grasp eternal life, grasping eternity. But that is exactly what we're dealing with here when we're talking about heaven. That's why it's so important. We're not talking about a brief phase of existence. Where we are now, we are told, is like a vapor. We are here for a little while, and then poof, we're gone. When we're talking about heaven and hell, we're talking about a never-ending existence in these places. Eternal life in heaven, or eternal life in hell. Revelation 20, verse 14. Revelation 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Lake of fire, second death, eternal punishment. Have you ever stopped to think about why it's called a second death? The first death is a separation from our body, from our spirit. The second death is a separation of you in God forever. That is a true death. That is the ultimate death, is to be separated from God. One of the ways in which the physical aspect of heaven is described again is found in Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Have you guys ever gone somewhere to the mountains? Have you ever seen a river like that? One was just crystal clear. No matter how beautiful that river you saw was, it doesn't hold a candle to the one that is described here in heaven. Pure water, the water of life, coming from the throne of God. We can see the beauty in the creation from God when He created this earth. But for all the beauty that we can see here on earth, as the old saying goes, we ain't seen nothing yet. I doubt anyone can truly comprehend how stunning and absolutely beautiful heaven will be. And we have to remember, just as beautiful and amazing as heaven will be, hell is going to be the direct opposite. Luke 16, 24. Luke 16, 24. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. From here, we can rightly assume that there is no water in hell, only the flame. No water for all eternity, just pain. This man depicted here is in so much pain and so much torment that he cries out and he begs for a single drop of water from the tip of a finger. He begs for just a second of relief from the pure pain and anguish that he is in. And the sad thing is that he will find no relief. Only constant pain and constant sorrow. Again, this is not some myth that is made up. These are warnings from God Himself to all mankind. Warnings of what lies ahead if we are not obedient and faithful to Him. It is impossible for God to lie. If He says that this is what awaits us, then it shall be. And like I said before, what makes heaven heaven is the fact that God will be there. But there will be a lot more than just God there as well. Revelation 22, verses 3 through 4. Revelation 22, 3 through 4. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His bondservants will serve Him, and they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Also in Revelation 21, 24. Revelation 21, 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In heaven will not only there be the creator of the universe and creator of life itself, but Jesus will be there as well. Right now we walk by faith, but then it will be face to face with the Son of God, our Savior, our King, and with all the saved who came before us. We can read about all the ones in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, all those who will be saved and be in the kingdom of heaven with God. Do we know and do we realize what our primary command is? Our primary job, our purpose. It is to love the Lord your God with all your being, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is to love our neighbor as yourself. In this phase of our existence, sometimes we struggle with keeping these commands. But know this, in heaven, we will obtain the primary goal. There will come a point to where we will have a perfect relationship with God Almighty forever. A perfect love with all our being for God. Perfect love for one another. There is no sin in heaven. There will be no Satan, no temptation. There will be no desires of the flesh. There will be nothing but perfect love between ourselves and God, and ourselves and one another, and all those who were saved for all eternity. Again, what scares me the most about hell is who will be there. Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Now we can understand and we can see that God allows Satan to do so much in this realm, and that he has limitations. We can see Satan as a mad pit bull on a chain who is gnawing at the bone to get at you. But God is there to hold him back on a chain. A sort of, you can bark all you want, but I'm not going to let you get him. However, in hell, you were thrown in with him. And there is no God standing between you and Satan. The fire and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, they all sound terrible. But to be with Satan for all eternity, with no escape, no way out, that's pretty scary. I do not want to be thrown into hell with Satan, with him having rule and dominion over my very existence for all of eternity. Nor do I want to be thrown in there with his angels. If we study the scriptures, we will find that there is a barrier between man and Satan, a barrier between the angels that sin and of the humans that sin. But in hell, there is no separation. As we come to understand the implications of it, if this doesn't shake you to your core, then nothing will. Revelation 20, verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The devil and his angels were cast into the lake of fire, along with all those whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. This is reality. This is truth. I didn't make this up. This isn't coming from me. You're simply reading the words of God. This is the truth on what waits us on the other side of our phase of existence in this life. This world is not our home. We're simply passing through. Do not get sidetracked and pulled into the things of this world. Do not let the battle of the flesh win you over. A home more beautiful than we could ever possibly imagine awaits for us if we stay true and faithful to God and His commandments. If we do get sidetracked and give in temptation and follow after Satan, then we know as well what awaits us. In heaven, there is no night because the Father gives us light. In heaven, there are no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. In heaven, you will be with God Himself for all eternity, in the presence of our very Creator. In heaven is eternal life, a pure water of life coming from the throne of God. In heaven, we will be with Christ Himself and with all the saved for all eternity. It's all real, every single bit of it. This is our inheritance. Our inheritance of you and I as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Do not be a fool and cast away your inheritance. Do not trade a few seconds of lustful pleasure for an eternity in pain and agony. We are all familiar with the story of Esau, how Esau, and after he was hunting, sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. How many of you, when you read this story, you think, man, he's not very bright. Why would he do something so dumb? This guy isn't playing with a full deck. He sells his inheritance, his birthright, for a bowl of soup. We would say that was not a very good trade. So then let me ask you this. How intelligent is it to have the inheritance of heaven lying there in front of you? And then you trade it for some trivial trinket in the trivial world. Is there any sin in the entire world worth giving up this type of inheritance? If you think there is, then Esau was an economic genius compared to those that would say yes. Do not give up your inheritance for quick fixes, for the unlasting pleasures of the world. What we are dealing with are just a few little steps between you and death. Using these moments that we have in our existence while we're still alive to establish a strong, lasting, loving relationship with God the Father in heaven. This is the only chance that we are allotted to get this right. Jesus bled and He died for our salvation and our forgiveness. It is right there for the taking. Grab it and hold on to it for dear life. Because Satan will try to get you to trade it in. In reading about hell, you are cast out into outer darkness. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You are forever cut off from the presence of the Lord and His glory. Eternal punishment in the lake of fire, the second death. Where there is no water to relieve you of your agony from the flames. Where there is only torment and pain. Where you are with Satan and his angels for all eternity. Again, this is not some Christian myth made up to scare us. This is God trying to warn us. Trying to warn us that this is what lies ahead if we do not come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we are not reconciled with God. And if you are a child of God and you give up your inheritance for a foolish trinket in the form of a sin, of some sort of sin in this world, thinking that it's wonderful and great, and that you'd rather take that and give up your inheritance. We must understand what Satan is trying to do. He doesn't want you to think about this. He just wants you to float through haphazardly through life, through this phase of your existence. He doesn't want you thinking about heaven and hell, just to do whatever you want to do, do whatever makes you happy. And then you die in your sins, separated from God, and then you are all His. We have to open our eyes and we have to see what God is warning us about. And at the same time, see and hear what His desire is for us. There will be heaven and there will be hell. There is no in between. I beg and implore each and every one of you to choose heaven, to run this race of Christianity all the way to the end. This is not our home. Again, do not get sidetracked and start to wander off. Cling to Christ, our Savior. He is our only hope, our only way to the Father. We must serve Him faithfully. Sin is nothing to mess around with. We do not play games with sin. This is no game. This is no fairy tale. This is not a joke. This is the most serious thing that I can talk to you about. Do not come to that realization when it's too late. I hope that this lesson has opened your eyes to what lies ahead. And as we see what lies ahead, then by faith, follow after Christ all the way to the throne of God. I have exhausted all my means. I don't know what else to tell you guys. This is not make-believe. These are not some idle stories. They have meaning behind them. These are the warnings of things which await us if we do not heed the words of God, if we do not heed them now while we have the opportunity to do so. I have but one more thing that will hopefully move those who have not been moved. To think about this, those who are saved, those who are obedient, you all have loved ones, family members, friends, people you care about, people you love, who have not obeyed the gospel. Think of them crying out in pain and agony, reaching out in total darkness for help. Think of them weeping and gnashing their teeth because of the pain and the fire is so intense. But help will never come to them in that place. But you can help them before they get there. You can be the hand that reaches out to them and pulls them out of the darkness they are in now, to tell them about our God, to tell them about our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. How Christ suffered, how He died, so that we never have to experience hell. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to do so now while there is still breath inside of you. Again, this is the only chance you get. Once you're dead, it's too late to say, "I'm sorry, I want to go back." You're not given that chance. Heaven and hell await us by the choices that we make while we have life here. Hear the word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess He is Lord. Repent of your old ways and be buried in baptism. You can have the same hope and the promise of those who are saved, and that is after you are dead, we go home to heaven. For those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we know that sometimes we get tripped up, sometimes we make mistakes. But again, it is that relationship that we have with God that allows us the privilege and the honor to have Christ, the mediator for us, to go to God on our behalf and to ask for forgiveness. So if you are in need of any way this morning, I ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.